Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Homeschool, episode 57, the podcast where Andrew Rivers and I do some monologue jokes with a celebrity guest, and that celebrity guest leaves the Zoom or laughs or makes fun of us or heckles or riffs with their own tags to the jokes. Then we talk about life and what's going on in the world and what's going on in comedy, but mostly what's going on in the world, because we don't have lives or comedy careers. Today, our guest is Bob Rivers.
Hey, hello there.
Welcome him.
Happy about time I got you. A shot to ride on Andrew's coattails at something. This is good.
Oh, I love it.
Well, all three of our listeners will probably come over to your podcast, and it's going to be a good time. Can't wait for the Rivers bump.
Yeah. Our podcast is full. I'm sorry. We don't need any more people.
No more listeners.
They're not sending their best.
No more
for
listeners.
Sure.
No.
What is it though?
The thing is, it's called the Bob and Zip Show with Ed Kelly. Okay. And the reason it's called that is about when Andrew was just a twinkle in my imagination about 19.
Hopefully you're imagining something better than this.
I don't want to ruin the whole dramatic busting each other's balls thing. But no, you're absolutely the best I could have wished for. But it was 1981 or so, and Lisa and I met, and I was working in Worcester, Massachusetts with a guy named Zip, who I was absolutely certain was the perfect chemistry partner for me. We got along like ham and eggs. And but then I got offered more money, and he didn't want to leave. And I was like, fuck you, I'm going to go have a career. So for like 20 years, he hated me and resented me. And by the way, at the time, we were both raging alcoholics. Mm. I mean, raging. And I'm still an alcoholic. I just haven't had a drink today.
No more raging. So,
but you know, how long is this podcast?
It's an hour long. So,
it could happen right here. It would be great. And then you could put me on former celebrity rehab if there is such a fucking thing. Anyway.
Dr.
So back then, it was the Bob and Zip Show on WAAF, and Ed Kelly was a guy. You know how a pro sports team always has to have in case their ace pitcher, you know, throws a slider and his arm comes off out of its socket, they have to have somebody ready to step up. Ed Kelly is this guy who does voices, and I was working with this guy, Spike, who was, you know, kind of annoying and somewhat unreliable. And, you know, we were codependent and dysfunctional together, but it worked, right? Just like lots of good relationships. And I was like, if anything happens to Spike, I've got this guy. And I would say to him, I love Spike and we're loyal.
Go to the bullpen, get the lefty.
If he should flip out or have an accidental drug overdose or something, you're my guy. And so when I retired, Zip and I became really good friends again. All was forgiven, and I finally had a chance to work with Ed. So, and Ed's really, really very talented. And so we decided he was going to be third, because there's a pecking order, right? Mm-hmm. Bob, the pushiest one, Zip, the co-host, and Ed would be, as he calls it, third banana.
Okay.
It's an old expression. You'd have to be about 100 years old to totally understand that one. But I said, well, we'll put your whole name in there, which sort of makes up for it. So it's Bob and Zip with Ed Kelly.
I love it.
A good ring to it, though, too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny. It's like no one knows our last names.
Right. And
it's fine.
And sometimes it's with Andrew Rivers on the podcast.
Andrew joins us very often, anytime he wants, actually. To remind us that we're old and that he's, much more interesting than us.
Hip, and he knows.
He makes fun of us.
True.
He says, says that all we do is read Wikipedia on our show. Yeah. You know, at first it hurt my feelings.
Show me the lie.
Yeah, but then I remembered that I was quite an asshole at his age and your age, and that's all I did is rip people for a living too. So I figure, well, why doesn't he should have a turn doing that?
And, yeah, we're going to call now this episode Apple Tree Syndrome. So,
yes. The asshole doesn't fall far from the tree.
Andrew, what do you got coming up there? Live dates before
I'm on tour with Hofstadter here the next month, but let's see, something that I should promote is probably Ventura Harbor Comedy Club, October 1st and 2nd, and then Laugh Camp Comedy Club in St. Paul, Minnesota, the 22nd and 23rd. AndrewJRivers.com for all sorts of tour dates.
That's fun. I used to, the joke used to be I'd do everything you did a year or two afterwards. I'm doing both those gigs just a month after you. So catching up.
Well, who the hell let you in the club? But
Next month I have JP's Comedy Club in Gilbert, Arizona on the 16th through the 18th of September. And we'll go October 15th and 16th in Laughs, or in Tucson at Laughs. Let's
Great club.
Do the jokes, but first a 3-second pause because I don't know how to edit things. Look what you got yourself on here.
Cover your eyes. There you go. Welcome to Homeschool, episode 57. Our main story is obviously the disaster in Afghanistan this week. The final U.S. plane left Afghanistan, and the Taliban is taking over the Kabul airport, but good luck getting through TSA being Muslim, you know?
Right. Jeez. Can't we talk about something less depressing than the news?
Sure. Let's see. Well, this week in my personal life...
I said less depressing.
Less depressing,
oh,
please.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Less depressing. All right. Well, how about the weather? That's very inoffensive, you know?
Perfect.
All right, weather. Well, Hurricane Ida is the strongest hurricane to hit Louisiana since 1850. And hospitals are currently overwhelmed with sick COVID patients, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I don't know. You know how this works. Well, we're just talking about, like, the weather. Like, you know? Not...
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought we were taking bets on whether or not the country will make it another month. But,
yes.
All right, I got weather news. Weather... in the Sunshine State, Orlando, Florida is ordering 14 portable morgues as COVID deaths reach record levels.
Do you go to upliftingnews.com for all this stuff? Where do you get it?
Yeah. You know what? I heard you on your podcast the other day going, let's just skip to the weather. And I was like, oh, I should steal that bit and make it funny, you know? Yeah. So
the news these days. I think that what happened in 2016 is that news channels discovered that ratings would go way up if you freaked people out and kept them angry at each other. And if you always said the sky is falling for everything. And so we used to have news stories like a woman gives birth to four, you know, quadruplets and they're all happy and healthy. And we used to have,
that
you know,
sounds
we used
sad to me, but
it would be sad for me too. But give me some rope.
That
anyway,
sounds like the sky is falling.
That is sort of the same thing, yes. But no, but there used to be like, here's some good news here and there.
Yeah.
And it was still very hard to find. But I think that news channels, I think it's gonna bite them in the ass. I think they're gonna find out that we're getting really sick of being freaked out and tense all the time. And I know when I do the, you know, I start with Wikipedia, but I eventually get to the newspaper with Zip, that I can never find fun stuff. So what I have to do is actually it comes in really sparse. Like a couple of things happened.
I wonder what it was in 2016 that made the change, though. I don't know.
I don't know what happened in 2016.
Radical, crazy. I'm not drawing a blank.
All right, let me put it this way: a really smart guy, and he would have won if he was on the "Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?" because he was about at sixth grade level. But a really smart guy discovered how social media and how audiences work in 2021. Now, back in my day, we would have a guy named Ed Sullivan, and he would go, there's this really, really big shoe, and there's this band, you're going to love them, they're called the Beatles. And we would go like, the Beatles. And we would see them, and everybody, like, we would go to school, that I was like one, but no, how old was I? I was in second or third grade, and we'd go to school, and the next day, and everybody would go, wasn't that great? Because you would sit down, and you would watch it with your mommy, and your daddy, your brothers, and your sisters. Now, Andrew goes into his own little room with his own little computer world and his own little echo chamber, Lisa goes into, that's his mom, goes into her own little echo chamber room with her little computer.
And where does daddy go?
You porn. But that's not an echo chamber. But I gave you the expected joke. I'm into all things geek. But what I'm saying is Lisa is picking out fabric and ordering yarn. And she's on Etsy.com. And as far as news goes, she sees the news and she really doesn't like any of it. So instead of watching the news, she watches shows like Rachel Ray or one that used to be Regis? It's Kelly and Ryan. And they never do anything challenging or intellectually stimulating. They just talk to celebrities. So everybody's in their own little thing. And the only way to rile people up, seriously, I think you should create a virus in a lab and unleash it on the world. That would do it.
I mean, it's an idea. I don't know. Well, it's lots of old media scare tactics like that. And what were you talking about?
Happens,
Andrew?
Every flu season. Running out of old media scare tactic about the morgues filling up and the portable trailers. It happens every flu season. So to worry about here.
Still a couple months away, but still also, by the way, those aren't portable morgues. Call them what they really are. They're freedom fridges.
Freedom fridges.
This all seems unnecessary, by the way. Don't they just have alligators in Florida? Like, isn't that...
Yes. Well, if you saw the hurricane, what's her name? Ida?
Yeah.
I'm talking about her like she's a person. If you saw tonight's news, by the way, here's the thing. This hurricane was really bad, right? It hit at 170 miles an hour. It destroyed lots of poor people's homes. But as far as I was concerned today, and I embarrassed myself a little bit when we were sitting by the TV news, I was like, so that hurricane didn't turn out to be that bad, did it? And Lisa was like, are you kidding? It's like millions of people without power. And I'm like, well, doesn't their automatic generator switch come on like ours does?
Relatively in Louisiana, this one wasn't so bad.
Well, and then I realized as I was watching, and Andrew was like, yeah, it was really bad because he's plugged in. See, Twitter is how really plugged in people get their news. Mm-hmm. But blips from publications is how I get my New York Times. And they're waiting till they know. They're not dramatizing it. I subscribe to New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Post. Guess which one?
A little brag about it.
I'm not bragging. Well, maybe I.
Because I can actually afford three magazine subscriptions.
Sure. Oh, we can make fun of me for that all you want. I read Wikipedia and I have a savings account. So.
What?
What is that?
What an elitist. What a liberal snob. Anyway, so through my day, I didn't get a whole bunch of bing, 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 bing news alerts about this hurricane. So I made the assumption that, it must have fallen apart like Hurricane Henri in New England. By the way, it knocked over one lawn chair. It was a disaster. And so then when I saw the news, I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know what's going on. It's devastating.
Funny because you said like, they don't even have, there's like no cell service in the entire town. So you're like, they can't even post their videos online yet. That's why we don't know how bad it is. Yeah,
that's right. And I think if you guys remember Katrina, what is it, 16 years ago? So Andrew, you were like six.
I mean, yes. No,
16 years ago, you were
21.
Yeah. So back then in Katrina, George W. Bush was president. And in the day
or two
after,
black people,
well, he was like me. I care about them, but I don't do a lot about it. you know what I mean? I care. It take a half a second to care. But the Kanye West famously called him out on it. But what happened is a day or two after Katrina, because where he gets his news, follow me on this whole silo and reverb chamber thing. You know, he said Brownie's doing a hell of a job. Now, do you remember who Brownie was? He was the head of FEMA.
Oh, right.
And Yeah.
That's the only brownie George Bush cares about. All right. Come on.
That's right. And so Brownie got a good job from the boss. And then the
George
TV
Bush
station.
Is like, what do you mean I don't care about black people? Brownie's a friend of mine. Come on.
He's Brownie.
George, I don't think you're supposed to call him Brownie. No, that's his name.
So so I said to Andrew and Lisa tonight, I think this is going to unfold over the next few days like Katrina. And I don't think we even know what's going on yet. And,
oh, boy.
It's going to be really sad. So let's talk about Afghanistan.
Yeah. Well, we're getting into it.
Speaking of gators, I know the Florida governor thinks COVID is a crock of shit. All right. Come on, bro.
Let's go.
75 Florida doctors actually staged a ceremonial walkout in the middle of their day because of the number of unvaccinated patients. How long was this walkout? Are you just leaving patients on machines? How did that work out?
Right. Hopefully at least one person dies and we're going to learn we don't even need doctors and just let the machines do it all. Can we move on, by the way?
The machines are taking our jobs.
Yeah. Can we move on a little bit? There's got to be, your personal life can't be more depressing than all of this.
Sure.
Let's
see
your personal life. Yeah.
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 I didn't know you had one, so I want to hear about it. Here.
Yeah. Well, I learned that when a doctor asks if you have thoughts of hurting yourself or others, you're not supposed to say nothing more than usual. So that's interesting.
Well, I stand corrected.
Like that in the emergency room. Yeah.
Oh, you went to the emergency room. Why don't you tell us about that? You went to the emergency room in a really small community. How was that?
Yeah. There was nobody there. It was nice. And there was no like, get out of here. You're not dying of COVID. So it was pretty fine.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Thanks. Well, you're visiting your family. So you're trying to utilize all their health insurance while you're there. I see.
Absolutely.
He's not 26 anymore. Yeah.
There's got to be a less depressing joke in there somewhere. Don't you have any stepsisters or something fun?
Visiting my parents for the first time since January 2020, but a podcast with my dad every week, so it feels like just yesterday he was telling me I wasn't good enough. But now that I can see the disappointment in person, it's like actually believable, you know? So, but yeah.
The Zoom makes.
I'm excited to get back on tour. Yeah. Well, we're in the same room. I can see him over there going. Yeah.
Can you hear the echo, by the way? Probably not. You can't hear him on the other side of the room.
Nope.
We have a noise gate on this microphone, so it actually cuts it out. It's good. But I can hear him echoing. Like we were at a big giant baseball stadium and today.
Yeah,
it's the best,
yeah.
best. You hear that.
I hear the joke bomb twice. It's fun. But I'm excited to get on tour because the best part about touring is I get to leave all my problems behind. You know, I enjoy being home, but now I have an excuse to not answer phone calls from friends or girls or the power company, you know, that just leave me alone.
Yeah, all those girls.
Which one of those is trying the hardest to reach you? I'm curious.
Well, I pay my bills on time, so nobody cares.
I don't know. I don't know if I like being on tour this last weekend because I was in Idaho and the hotel Wi-Fi blocked the porn. What is
in
this?
In Idaho?
Afghanistan? In Idaho, yeah. And,
yeah.
In the Middle East,
wait a minute. It blocks like in order to do that, it would have to have certain websites. Oh, yeah, of course. Everybody knows what they are. But it actually won't let those go through.
I'm not sure what they are. Maybe fill me in on the list.
Yeah, well, did they tell you? Well, there's a whole network. They're all owned by
the
same creepy guy.
What's the site you use? I don't know if maybe yours slips under the radar there.
I have this theory that one guy owns them all. And his name is Donald Trump. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
All the women.
Here's a question. Did they tell you that or did you call the front desk and ask? Hey.
Oh, he found out the hard way.
Soft way.
He found out the soft way. Yeah. Okay. Nice job.
Oh, that's a much better joke. That's good. Well, damn, they're really doing everything they can to keep people from staying home and stopping the spread of legs. Right. Okay. But yes, pandemic's getting pretty bad again. I'm not a doctor, but I've hooked up with a few nurses and they are not happy on their Instagram story. And this time it has nothing to do with me. So I'm happy.
You're in the clear. Yeah. Well, shows have been being canceled everywhere. Kid Rock has canceled a concert after half of his band tested positive for COVID, not chlamydia.
Yeah, they play on with that. So
they just continue.
Have you guys ever had chlamydia?
People back to their green room.
Oh, yeah. You know, here's a fun story. The first time I got it, you said, oh, I had a date with her one time.
Yeah, I got, I had it.
That
once,
was a
yeah.
good father
Corey,
son.
Did you ever
probably
have
shouldn't
it?
Have told it to me when I was
I haven't.
Nine, but,
no.
Know.
Yeah, it's too bad you were nine. But yeah, you haven't had it yet?
No, not yet.
Maybe you're just asymptomatic.
Yeah, probably. I did have something that they said wasn't sexually transmitted, but I was like, I mean, it's on my junk. So I feel, what was that called? Can't remember.
HPV?
No, it's like a unique skin thing. Anyway.
Okay. The,
yeah, yeah, this is fun.
By the way, trying to imagine what it is to help you with the answer, not fun.
Hang on, just put it on the webcam and we'll take a look here.
That's right. If you want fun. More, if you want more podcast viewers, that's the way to go.
Okay. So there we go. Subscribe to Patreon for the video.
Let me turn on the enlarge function and well,
it's too
Delta seems
room.
To be affecting children and people who are named after children and act like children all the same. It's yeah. Not as, yeah.
Speaking of kids there, University of Virginia has expelled 250 students for not getting a vaccine. In a change of pace, universities are requiring students to get shot before they come to school now. So that's interesting.
Oh, that's nice.
I like that one. I think that's good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a change of pace. That's now nice. Students are being required to get shot before they come to school instead of by an assailant who happens to break into the school. That's awesome. That's a cheerful, uplifting joke, by the way.
We're getting
to
them.
Doing all. Yeah, yeah
that's a good together. One. I like that one.
Well,
hope I hear that on our podcast. I'll pretend to.
I'll save it for you. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Virginia isn't for COVID lovers, apparently, I guess. New Zealand reports the first death from the Pfizer vaccine, according to BBC News, or the 1 millionth, according to Hot Girls Andrew follows on Instagram.
It's, yeah, here's our theory. It's all spoiled white women, a lot of them, that yeah, yeah. that don't want to get the vaccine. Does that line up with what you would imagine?
Bob.
Oh, is it for me? So I don't know. I made a broad generalization on Facebook today and some guy tried to call me out for it, but he was doing the straw man thing. You guys know what a straw man is?
Oh yeah, I hate it. Yeah, you make bad argumentation. It makes me upset.
You argue against me as if I said something I didn't say, right?
Yeah.
So what I said is I posted that picture of the Pfizer what's that blue pill called? Oh yeah.
Bagger. Oh yeah.
Anyway, I
you
posted
trust
a picture.
This, but it, not
you.
This.
You might have yeah. seen the meme. It says, you know, you trust Pfizer with your penis. You might as well trust him with the vaccine, which is sure. a good. I thought it was a good point. And so I don't just repost a meme. I always give at least some bit of my commentary because just
right.
reposting a meme. I mean, I could get a bot to do that for me. I don't have to do it myself.
Yeah.
So what I said was. Old white guys love the blue pill, you know, right. go ahead and get the vaccine. Anyway, so some guy went, oh, really? Only old white guys use Viagra?
Ah, geez.
And I said, where did I say only?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I didn't say only. I said, perhaps I would have some inside knowledge that an old white guy... Remember the first time I tried it? Did I ever tell you this story, Andrew?
Ah, sounds like a fun one for the podcast. I like it. Let's
By the
do
way,
it.
I'm enjoying this because he comes on my podcast and breaks the furniture and makes me feel uncomfortable.
Perfect.
This could be fun for me.
First
you
time
the story?
Viagra.
No, you want
to? I've definitely never heard it.
Okay. So
I don't think I've heard it.
I knew nothing about Viagra except other than, you know, boner jokes. And I don't have ED, which is the initials stand for erectile dysfunction. And I always was led to believe that was someone who really, you know, no matter what you would do, could sing songs to it, whatever, it wouldn't get hard.
What song though, do you sing plants. To your...
Straight up, now tell me. Here we go.
Yeah. So it's been a hard day's night.
It's I'm been a hard day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All
so
right.
I didn't know really much about it at all. I remember reading that Rush Limbaugh got busted with Viagra when he was in the Dominican Republic. And if you remember the story, it was a long time ago. He was amazing, by the way. He was a guy who said that drug dealers, you know, people that use drugs should be in jail. And then he got busted for being an OxyContin addict. And, you know, marriage between a man and a woman and, you know, one woman. And then he was in
one woman, one man on a slow night.
Well, he was in the Dominican Republic, which is known for its underage prostitution. And he was there on his private plane. Now, I'm not inferring anything, which is what people do when they're inferring something. Anyway, so he gets, and I'm sure this was a plan. This was a you know, he was set up, but the plane gets searched by customs and they find Viagra pills on Rush Limbaugh. And he, you know, talked it off and nothing ever became up. So anyway, this is all I knew of Viagra. And I knew that Spike, my former co-host, who had had testicular cancer and he had one ball removed, I knew that he said he took it. And he joked about it a little. And I only found out later that, you know, he needed it because he had a physical condition.
He can't sing.
Right. So his voice went down.
He lost his backup singers. Good thing Ed Kelly was there to be the fluffer.
The voice would go up, right? If you remove a testicle. Yeah. So I'm in Mexico with your mother. I'll make this about your mother.
Hey,
make it even more uncomfortable.
Don't talk about my mother like that.
No, not your mother.
Oh, Andrew's. Andrew's mom. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Mexico with her. And, you know, we don't party per se anymore, but I keep walking by all these Mexican pharmacies and they have, you know, it's literally like lights come on and flash when they see a guy like me coming. And here's, this is like, I would do heroin if it was on sale.
Fair.
Lisa likes stuff on sale, you know? And so anyway, so I'm walking by and I said, do you think I should try one of those?
I think the first one's free, actually, if you ask.
Two for one, I have to.
So I stopped, and long story short, and I'm all embarrassed. I'm in a Mexican pharmacy, like this person doesn't know me. I'm like, that's the stuff. And she's like, she's probably already got it out because I walked in.
I know what you're here for.
Easy walk in.
Anyway, so I was very, and then as soon as I got it, I was scared because I don't know what it does. I mean, I really don't know anything about it. And so they have hundreds, 50s, and I think they have hundreds and 50s. So I broke one of the 50s in half and took a 25 because I figure I don't need it. I don't have erectile dysfunction. I have erectile disappointment.
Disinterest.
Disappointment.
Erectile disinterest.
Not as good as it was. In other words, you know how when you have a dinghy or something and it'll float, but it's a little bit softer than it used to be and it doesn't stay rigid on the water, that kind of a thing.
Got it. Yeah.
Never experienced this issue.
By the way.
I can't relate, but yeah.
If Andrew in person wants to put a hook on me. I'll get to the point. It 20 minutes later, it was just like I was 17 again, except that when I'm 17, you haven't taken it, none of you, right?
Oh, I've taken
oh, you have, yeah. Okay. And you have
to keep a stash on me.
This is crazy. So I'm learning this for the first time. When I was 17, I could have that kind of concrete hardness, but it would only last 30 seconds. I'd be like, that's it. And so
that's how I got made. All right.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think there was a bottle of wine involved in you.
The joke you told me not to repeat your jokes over and over, but you were like, you and mom were counting backwards and you went, she goes, that was your father's birthday. And you said, usually the things we do on my birthday don't make babies.
Make babies, yeah.
I didn't know if that was a blowjob or an anal joke, but either way.
We're a bit more conservative.
Or a third party, or, you know, who knows? No, but
Christian like loophole.
And anyway, I was just astounded by what this stuff does, but it also flushes out your face. So who knows what else it does to your circulatory system.
Well, it was meant for airplane sickness, right? Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was
that's
a heart
medication. That's probably why Rush Limbaugh had it, you know?
The only
all
reason,
those private flights everywhere, you know?
They discovered it had this effect, and someone at Pfizer went, I think there's billions of dollars in this.
The whole movie about it with Jake Gyllenhaal. It's, is there? Not a great movie, but fun.
Anyway,
Viagra. I mean, Cialis, Viagra, all the things. Andrew's tried them. I've tried them. I mean, it's gonna come in effect. It's gonna come in handy. That sounds bad. if comedy gets canceled, right? I got a backup.
Yeah. Well, Corey's got a back. He's on OnlyFans, you know, so he's gonna need to get that dick
hard. Are you on OnlyFans, really?
Well, you have to have an account to view accounts. So,
so you're, I'm just here as a spectator. I've just been learning about OnlyFans because a few days ago I read that they were going to cease sex or pornography or whatever.
Cease and disdicts or disdicts. Desist? I don't know, something.
All right, and desist. And I remembered that when I read that, I thought, well, I thought the only thing that was on there was porn stars making money on that site. So how are they going to be able to do that and not lose money? And I also read into why they were doing it. Do you know why they made that announcement?
Well, yeah, they had an issue with their financial providers, the banks were essentially
credit card companies.
Visa.
Apparently they made a deal and they flipped like a lot of the women on OnlyFans and they're gonna
they turned over
again.
They reverse cowgirled the decision.
They went out the indoor. So
it's starting to feel like an abusive ex. I mean, you know, just take me back, baby. I swear I'm better than Fansley. I can treat you right. Maybe brought it up was I got a $50 down payment on a dick pic from a guy. And I felt like sort of obligated to send him a little something.
Wait a minute. You put your dick pic financial transactions in escrow? How does this work?
Yeah, he offered $750 and he's
escrow.
$50. Well, I sent him a little.
So hold on. You're on there. How do you meet this guy? Does he just see you?
He followed me.
Okay.
And
at comedy clubs or on that particular site?
So this is a good question. There was a lot of discussion about who he was without him wanting to tell me who he was. Not wanting, but he's anonymous on the app. But I go, hey man, I can't be just sending this out with my face. I used to teach high school for 12 years. I don't know who you are. And he goes, oh, I got you. No. I'm just a curious fan.
Could be a former student.
Right. And he
that'd be disastrous, But
wouldn't be the first time he showed his penis to a student. So.
Well, let me put it this way: what did we learn from Louis C.K.?
Former. So he offers. What happened was he sent $150 and I could see it, or he didn't send it. That was his offer. I ignored it. $250. Ignored it. $450. We started chatting.
So wait a minute. The offer comes anonymously. Like you're not expecting offers.
It was in my, no. I'm not
this
on
is
it.
How because I don't know how OnlyFans work. So if I go up there, will some freak offer me something?
I don't know if he's
if
a freak.
Your name
I
is
mean,
Bob
I'm a judge
Rivers.
And I want him to still give me this money. So let's not disparage his.
Okay. this sweet gentleman.
Let's wait till the money clears.
He's a gentleman. Yeah. So it is a guy. It's not a girl.
I assume. Yeah. It's a man. And
we're pretty confident.
It's an app. It's an app. It's a social media app, just like any other app in terms of its platform and the setup. And you just make posts,
like
kind of like Instagram. And a lot of people have different tactics for how they do it. I'm not actively on it. I just literally do have it so I can view others.
You can purchase things from other people. Sure.
Corey does another podcast called Stripper Whisperer, where he interviews strippers about how to be a better customer and what it's like, you know, behind the scenes and
how you know.
And
I get
so
behind.
A lot of those women, and he wants to get behind their scene, but a lot of the
that's
women.
That's fascinating, actually. I see redeeming social value in that.
I'm not trying to be Captain Save a Stripper, but that's why they love to do the podcast. They're very interested in being like, hey,
do you have a Captain Save the Stripper costume?
It's my birthday.
That would be cool. With a cape?
So I follow every time I interview someone who's on there. I say, if it's, are you comfortable with me following you for a month so I can support you? And they go, not support, but be supportive. And they go, sure. And so I follow for a month, and then I.
Wait a minute. Are you getting a press pass and not paying to follow?
No. I pay to follow for a month.
Okay.
And then some have free or very
expensive
accounts.
Service. Yeah.
And a lot of it happens.
And then you
can
upsell.
Yeah, they upsell. The really good ones at it, they upsell in the DMs.
This is like budget heroin. It's probably better if I don't even know this exists.
The first one is free. Yeah.
That's probably better.
Coming back. So anyway,
I'm just curious, really. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Well, and then
The thing is, the appeal, Mark and Joe were talking about it, because the appeal is that it's someone you know in real life and you get
to see her
tits. But the porn star is just anybody, and it's not special because she's showing her tits to everybody.
So, right. Corey, what did you do?
I don't get DMs on there, except for this guy, and then there was one other person. And then the other DMs you get are mass DMs, because the women can send everybody who follows them the exact same message, saying, with like a hidden photo, and, hey, do you want to see this?
Like,
tip me $50.
Yeah, pay $50 to unlock this video of my blowjob or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So my DMs are just...
By the way, I had to find a Playboy in my best friend's father's magazine.
It's just
magazine
attacking
rack,
me. Like,
hidden behind Sports Illustrated. And we'd take lingerie ads and one centerfold to the woods. We wouldn't jerk off because we weren't, you know, wouldn't do that in front of each other.
Never.
But we'd just be excited that we saw it. That is what existed when I... was a teenager.
That's not the only old growth in the forest. Come on.
You're talking about now is shocking to me, even though I kind of know it has to be. So go ahead.
So it exists, and that's so my only DMs are just those mass DMs, and I ignore them. And then I get one from a long number that's not even a name. It's just somebody with an account that has a username that's in no profile photo. So I just ignore until 450. And then I was like, well, I mean, now we can talk. And,
now we're talking.
And he goes, I go, how about, I'll send you one. And he goes, it's got to have your face in it. And I was like, I don't know. And then he goes, well, name a price. What would it take? And he goes, how about $750? And I just go, it's probably fine. then I ask.
By the way,
question.
As I hear this, I wonder, what would my price
What is
be?
Your price? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Not $750, not in my tax
what
bracket.
Was
it,
last
would
week's joke?
It would be higher.
Yeah.
Well, I said
he's already got a retirement account, savings account. So
right. I mean, I said, well, I said I'm worth $100 an inch, so I accepted $300, and that's not bad. But he was like, great, and that sounds awesome. And to me, the story is worth it. $750 ain't bad either, but. Also, I'm not.
So wait a minute. He gave you a deposit, though.
So what happened was you were only allowed.
They got to meet in person for him to get the deposit.
Deposit it right here on my back.
Deposit.
$500 is the max. The maximum tip amount on OnlyFans.
Okay.
And that's a new rule that they enacted probably 2 years ago, because a couple celebrities hopped on and made $1 million in 3 days.
Wow.
It was that first celebrity. She's like maybe a former Mouseketeer.
Well, the girl that was on Dr. Phil.
Oh, I don't want to. Yeah.
Not her. Oh, she did it too.
The girl that got famous from Dr. Phil, that was like, catch me outside. How about that? Or whatever.
Yeah.
She was like 16 on Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
On her 18th birthday, she set up an OnlyFans. So Dr. Phil didn't really help much.
No, and she became a rapper. She became like a relatively famous rapper too. And but it was a woman who was like a famous actress, went on very pretty under the guise that she was going to post nudes, and she didn't post nudes. So all these sex workers got really mad at her, because they're like, you're hopping on our platform and you're not even doing nudes. Yeah.
Sure, they want to unionize. This is the whole thing. It's supposed to be free with no rules.
Right?
That's how free with no rules works, right?
So
hey, let's all gather all our sex workers together and let's make some rules. That kind
free
of destroys the whole purpose.
Free the nipple. She made $1 million
My
in
nipples
a few days, and people got mad at her. And then OnlyFans had to change its policies to restrict the amount of money per transaction, because they lost their ass because of all these men went, hey, she came under here under the guise of saying she was going to do nudes, and she didn't do nudes, and we paid all this money. We want our money back. And so OnlyFans was like, ah, shit, we got to change some policy. So 500
did they get
the
their
max.
Money back?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure OnlyFans is like, ah, you made an agreement. And but they changed it to 500 maximum tip. And so he tried to send me 750 and immediately got his account flagged or whatever. But if he's telling me the truth, and I think he is, he had some other fraud happen in his bank. Because I was like, all right, we'll just send it to me on Venmo. And he goes, unfortunately, my actual bank account right now has some fraud issues that I have to work through. Actually, he goes, can you imagine? He's like, I had to call a bank teller and talk to her about all my purchases. And she's like, what's this OnlyFans one? And he's like, ah, well.
Yeah. Have you heard of Corey Michaelis?
No. She was like, nope. And then she goes, you should probably not send him this much.
So but, you haven't got any money yet from this guy?
Two down payments of $50 each. So I've got $100 so far. And I felt like, if it was
I'd
me,
show,
on his,
I'd show him my belly button for that.
Well, that's the thing is that if it was me on his end, I would want a little something.
If you zoom in, it's about the same size, you know. So
I have an Audi, so he sent me. So I sent him just a little something that was like a cute photo, I thought, and then he replied with like a dirty comment, and now I'm just sexting with a gay guy for free. I'm in. I got duped, I think, but. But I've made $100, and when he gets this, he keeps writing $50, you know, $100, $650 more to go. So he's gonna do it, and I'll eventually send it.
This is the exact same way I remember strip clubs used to work.
And
I didn't go very often. I only went a couple of times with other people who dragged me there. True story, by the way.
$750 to get me in the champagne room, I guess, is what my number.
But what they would do is they would get a little bit out of time out of you and not give you anything for it.
Ah, yeah, I'm not good at this. I already gave him a half-naked photo of me, and only $50. And nah, isn't it's not. It?
I'm not a homophobe or anything.
Sure.
Isn't it a little weird? However, thank you for busting me on that. But isn't it a little weird? You're straight, right?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I assume you're straight with all the misogynist talk we've had so far.
Yes.
But so to me, it's odd for a straight guy to tease a gay guy.
Well, I mean, that was sort of the joke is I wasn't trying to tease the guy. I was just trying to get the 750, send him the photo and
transaction.
Have
Simple
a deal.
Transaction.
But we are where we are. And
like, in other words, you're just like the kid on the Nirvana album. It's not sexual for you. It's a transaction. There's a dollar bill and you're swimming towards it.
Yeah, it's always trying to chase a buck.
That's it.
Hey,
because totally didn't it. Well, speaking of tiny penises, he is suing. He wants $150,000 from each band member. Man, his bank account has experienced some shrinkage, apparently.
Yeah,
he's not going to get it. Are we going to try these jokes, Andrew? Yeah. We have a few more.
go ahead.
Guess it turns out women sleep with him, find out he's not rich, and then they say, never mind. But,
oh, man. It's all this. I can hear it now. Stop talking politics, stick to comedy. If you'd hurry up and get the vaccine, we wouldn't have to talk about dead bodies stacking up anymore. We could just. Do comedy,
knock jokes. You want to do a knock-knock joke, Corey? Give us
knock-knock.
Who's there?
A bunch of piled-up bodies of unvaccinated idiots.
A bunch of piled-up bodies of vaccinated idiots? Who? Oh, I'm sorry.
Shit. I don't know their names. My aunt needs to know who's immunocompromised for work, and I'm like, well, just ask people. And she goes, well, what if they, like, get all pissed off? Say I'm infringing on their rights, and I'm like, oh, well, then those people aren't vaccinated. you got your answer. Problem solved.
That's right.
Do we have any more?
Biden says he wants to make sure the Kabul terrorists don't live on the earth anymore. Well, they were suicide bombers, so I think we're all set.
You got your wish there, buddy. I also want all the awful people who kill themselves to be dead. Hitler, Kurt Cobain for that child porn thing.
Yeah. Speaking of slitting wrists, cats are depressed and irritated by owners being home too much during the COVID pandemic.
Huh. Well, I'm going to get my cat some Zoom therapy, but I'm pretty sure he'll just walk across the keyboard and close the session. So,
why are cats depressed? They have more followers than Corey.
That's true. Well, my girlfriend's pussy is tired of me being home also. Time to start drinking.
That sounds like bragging, actually.
kind of funny. Yeah. Well, you got to switch to marijuana. I'm telling you, alcohol has made me say things I don't mean and hurt myself and others. The worst thing I've done on pod is accidentally set my hair on fire. So that's it. We made it through the jokes. I can't believe it took an hour longer than usual. But we have a very exciting guest. Bob Rivers, my father, is here. Exciting. Let's I promised the people a story. We won't talk about the other thing, but you one time got arrested for pot. And so you teased me in the car with the story. So how old were you when this happened? And, you know, is there still a record of it or what's going on there?
So, we're at the age now where I'll tell you anything pretty much. So when something comes up, something comes up and I go, did I ever tell you?
Thanks
about the
for those website recommendations. Appreciate it.
Something comes up, I'll tell you a story about Viagra.
I'm pretty sure I did not break any new ground for you. So anyway, I said that, you know, somehow we were talking, well, it's legal everywhere now. And so we were talking about that and I was trying to explain to Andrew how different it was for my generation. Marijuana was the evil weed. There was a movie called Reefer Madness. Parents were warned that their kids might fall under the evil demon marijuana, which of course made every kid who really had to trudge 5 miles through the snow uphill to school while clutching a ripped, torn out page from a Playboy to read it in the woods next to an old growth tree later. It made every kid immediately want to get high. I mean, that's how you make kids want something, as you go, you better not do this. Yeah. It's dangerous. And when you're a kid, danger doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, dare me to do drugs.
Yeah. So anyway, I in high school, I was pretty, I guess I was pretty sheltered in Catholic school, which I went to until eighth grade. And the idea of the parents sending you to Catholic school was to shelter you from all the evil public school kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't consider it to be bigotry or racism back then, but it was implied you're from a good neighborhood with parents who can send you to a private school. We want to keep you amongst your own kind while you're young and impressionable. I think it backfires when suddenly you go to a public high school and you realize that finally there's this stuff going on and I can participate. And so I couldn't wait to try pot. And I had to, because the first pot I purchased was oregano. And when I say oregano, I mean good on a pizza. That's how it smelled. It was perfect. And I was like,
you actually bought oregano?
Like, I bought oregano. Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God.
They saw me coming, as they should have. Just like that guy who is getting you $50 at a time to show your face and your dick. So I at some point I actually got some real pot and I liked it. I was too young. I think that it is bad for children, you know, to experiment with stuff like that. And God knows I did everything that kids did in the 60s and 70s. But I'm entrepreneurial. So I couldn't afford it. So naturally, the thought occurred to me that if I could just get a pound of pot and then I could split it up. Uh-huh. And I would make a profit, and then I would do mine for free. I had a business mind.
I like it.
It did not even occur to me that it was illegal.
Okay.
It didn't. It occurred to me
that kids.
No, not for kids. And
where are they going to send us?
Are we going to have to go to our room?
My room? Smoke pot.
So, and at this time I had a girlfriend who was really a platonic girlfriend. Still friends with her today on Facebook. You talk to her from time to time, Catherine. And her parents were cool with it. So we'd smoke it at their house. And mom would go, "You burning incense up there again?" And I would be like, my parents would freaking kill me.
I'm making a pizza.
So anyway, so I had this bright idea that I would get a pound and that I would split it up. And I would just eyeball it. I didn't have a scale or nothing. And then I thought, do I know how many ounces in a pound? I forgot. 28, 16? Isn't it?
Oh.
16 or 20. I forget how many it was.
I thought it was 16. I might be dumb. I mean, give I am dumb, Google. But I might be wrong also. Give it a Google.
Google how many ounces in a pound of cannabis. Somebody, because we've got Google. Google it. Give it a Google.
16 ounces, yeah.
Oh, 16. Okay. So anyway, I split it up. And I put it in baggies, and then I realized, and this is still true today, I don't have 16 friends. I said, if you know anybody that, you know, wants some pot.
Post
you know,
a flyer on the telephone pole, call right, your mom right. on a
my address, number. My phone number, my yeah, mom's
yeah.
name.
Yeah. So I think
knocked
you can
twice. Yeah.
I think you can see where this is going. someone I knew had recently been arrested. And was told if he turned in his dealer, he could get out of it.
Uh-huh.
And so he brings over these
you gotta
two
find
guys.
The yeah, yeah, you gotta find the top of the mafia boss.
Two guys. And when they're there to get some pot, they go, "Hey, we're really looking for some Quaaludes. Do you know where we can get those?"
Quaaludes.
And here's the thing. I didn't do that stuff. I actually to this day never did that stuff. Corey, you're probably still doing it, but I you know.
Never, only drugs that'll go in my mouth. That's the only hole I'll put drugs in. That's my rule.
I suppose that's true. I'm just not convinced completely. So
Quaaludes probably go in your mouth. But
what ended up happening is that I said, well, I asked someone I knew. It's like, hey, you know, could you help my friend? Like, I assumed everyone's my friend. Another dumb thing. Long story short is, you know, they were narcs, literally narcs.
Man.
And I forgot all about it. And I moved to Rhode Island where I was doing a radio job. And I get a call from my parents. There's a warrant for your arrest in your hometown. Oh,
how wow. old are you at this? Okay.
18-ish.
So I think graduated
so you're 18
or not
and some,
I just got out of high
these...
school and I'm taking wow. my first radio job. And
so this is like 6 months later, you're out of town, you forgot all about it, you hooked them up with Quaaludes and you skipped town.
Right, but I never actually even had the Quaaludes.
You like,
right, you just knew a guy.
I just, like, everybody knows a guy. So I'm off in Rhode Island, you know, and by the way, I never did that again because I thought, well, this is stupid, I don't really, it's work.
And right,
it's know, hard. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like OnlyFans. It's just not not just as easy as it looks.
Yeah. So what had to happen, Andrew, and you can imagine this, is your grandfather, my father, Al, one of the most, and I mean socially conservative, not political conservatism, used to actually be a good thing. It used to be about mm-hmm. family values. It used to be about working hard. It used to be about integrity. I mean, this is when I was a Republican raised in a family that, except my mom, I know voted for Kennedy because he was hot. But anyway, so my dad has to come and pick me up and drive me to the police station to be fingerprinted.
Wow. Is that the best kind of fingering in a police station? Printing?
Yeah. So the conversation Andrew and I was having today is... You know, the fact that it's legal now just blows my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I never want to be like that. So if he does it, to me, it's a glass of wine. My wife drinks a glass of wine. Right. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I don't do that. Partially maybe because of this post-traumatic stress or whatever. The whole idea of getting high makes me paranoid anyway, and it's not something I would want to do.
They're going to call me. My dad's going to call me again and bring me to jail.
That's right. Well, you know, psychologically, there's that could be.
What were the consequences from that police station visit? Like, what happened? What was the end of that saga?
Good follow-up question. You must be related to an interviewer. So
I just wanted to get some dirt on you for later. You know?
Well, what happens is they say to me, if you introduce us to your dealer, we'll drop the charges.
It's
entirely how it used to work. And I remember thinking, sure, I'll do that. But for some reason, it didn't. It was like, it's not going to happen. And so, statute of limitations, long time ago. But I will tell you this. At the time, there were some forward-thinking judges and forward-thinking people who thought the marijuana laws being the same as heroin was really stupid. And one of them happened to be a neighbor of ours who was a Superior Court judge who I babysitted his little kids.
Oh, wow.
And so...
this babysitter is getting high all the time.
And so I got an attorney who was a rock and roll
attorney.
Fire
him or change the laws.
From Rhode Island, who I was already making records by then, working on Twisted Tunes. And I had this cool friend who was a lawyer. And he said, go talk to that judge. And he said, just lay out the whole story. Tell him exactly what happened to you. He's a friend of the family. And I'm like, I can't do that. He'll judge me. And he was like,
literally his job.
It is. But as it turns out, there were newspaper articles of him talking about how onerous our marijuana laws were and how we needed to put it in its proper place. So he was already an activist judge against marijuana. I mean, what are the odds that he would live four doors down from me and I'd babysit his kids? And so I went over and I had a talk with him. And he said, well, you know, it's pretty dumb of you to, you know, decide you're going to deal. I was like, dumb. Thinking back on it now, it's probably likely he was forward thinking in a few ways.
Uh-huh.
But he just said, so who's.
Hey, next time, stop by the house.
No, nothing like that. And I, by the way, for the record, I never babysat for them again, so I'm pretty sure that killed the babysitting gig.
Judges ever have conversations where like, no judgment, just tell me what you did?
He really, truth was, he was a well-respected neighbor and a great guy, and he took my story and said, that's really terrible that they're, you know, calling you a dealer because you're really not in the business of dealing drugs. And then he said, who is your judge? And I told him the name of the guy. And he said, well, I'm not allowed to do anything. I can't talk to him. But I can tell you this. He said, tell him the story the same way you told me. And also, he said, have your attorney request a program called Accelerated Rehab. I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And so I called my attorney and I said, well, he said he can't do anything. And my attorney was like, yeah. What else did he say?
And, yeah.
And he said, accelerated rehab. And my attorney said, well, that's not a program for buying and selling. That's just a program for first time offenders. You know, he was like, but okay. And so I went to court and the prosecutor was, you know, whatever it was going to be. It's a little blurry right now. Perhaps if I took something to help the blood flow to my brain better, I would remember. I stood up. I was the contrite kid who'd never been in trouble. Mm-hmm. And the attorney said, we're going to recommend accelerated rehab. What that was is they continue your case for a year. And if you don't get in trouble, it gets dropped. Mm-hmm. And that still exists for all kinds of things today. Just in case either of you ever need it. And so literally 363 days later. Oh, and the prosecutor was opposed to it. The judge said, I think I'll take a chance on this nice young man who's a great babysitter. And I don't know. But like 363 days later, I was in a van with some kids.
Yeah.
If you've seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High, one of them was Spicoli.
I thought it was going to be a different type of van crime. That's
no,
good.
No. And
in a van with some kids.
Sure enough, there was dead
no
skunks
windows.
In the area. Yeah. And so I had a scare, but the officer was just get out of here. But it made me properly paranoid. And after that, I really didn't smoke pot. I did a few times, but I didn't enjoy the feeling. So now, however, I look at it like my wife's glass of wine or my son's glass of wine. And
that's how my parents.
But it's exciting to me that it's legal, because I think it's been a terrible injustice done on. As we're getting all serious now, but we could talk about Afghanistan and lighten things up if you want.
Well, yeah, lighten it up.
But I think it was a terrible injustice that so many people went to jail over this, and that so many rich drug lords, made billions of dollars. For doing something that's really, at the very least, certainly if alcohol is legal, this is
right
legal. So that's my story. Wow. Is that what you expected, Andrew?
I just didn't know. I do remember you talking about the judge neighbor. Maybe you told me part of that story or some Cliff Notes version of it. So, or maybe you're involved with that neighbor a different time. But it's interesting. Mm. The other questions I kind of had were about, and that kind of ties into it, is when you actually sobered up.
Yes.
Because we were flipping through your notebook and there was we talked about this on your show, but there was a letter from your boss that was like, you fuck up and your show sucks and you got to do better. And then 6 months later, I think this was the first letter was like a month after you sobered up or went to. But, I do the joke about it. But was there a moment? Was there someone that told you to sober up? Was there was there a night where you woke up like, I got to stop doing that again?
Why'd you point behind you?
There's was a, there a night you woke up you like yeah, whatever you want.
Is that a monkey up behind your chair or on your shoulder? I'm trying to figure that out. It's a great question, and
I keep a banana in my pocket.
We will need 6 hours to really thoroughly do it, so let me give you the brief version of it.
Did you roll your car? Did you whatever? Was there like a singular moment, or was it just a series of like events where you're like, yeah, I really don't enjoy this as much as I thought?
So for me, and for me alone, as they say in those 12-step meetings,
that you still go to once in a while, by the way,
what it was that I operate from the gut and logically, and the two fight with each other and sometimes they compromise. But for me, I had this vision of a career and a thing I wanted, and I didn't have an off switch. So, and pot is a wonderful thing. Cocaine, not so easy for people without an off switch. Mm-hmm. And so for me, what I discovered was about myself that, how you like say to yourself, I'll have just 4 Cheez-Its. And then I'll close the box and put it away. And that way the Cheez-Its will last 6 months. And the next morning you wake up and the Cheez-Its are strewn.
And you're all out of cocaine. Yeah. You got powder on your face. You got
exactly. It's just like Cheez-Its. So that is.
You're looking at the empty box. Like, what did I do with my life? Yeah, yeah.
To me, life, the real struggles of life, overcoming fear is one of the basic human primordial struggles. Because in all good things, it involves taking a risk and trying something, which is how you fail. And it's something you instinctively want to avoid. But in civilization, which is even more beyond our basic instincts, in civilization, what you want to do logically versus what your primitive self is telling you to do, the battle that it feels like there's a constant battle going on through all of life about, if I could, I used to say it this way, if I could flip a switch, and that would, just by flipping that switch, the other thing I use, and I've used it on you, is wave a magic wand. If I could wave a magic wand, and I would automatically work out for an hour a day and be buff and ripped, would I wave that magic wand? Well, of course, there's no effort to waving a magic wand. And so that's what I mean by the logical, you know, higher self. And then there's the, fuck it, I feel like eating a bag of Doritos right now person. And that guy wins a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, being sober meant, instead of winning that battle, it meant, and they call it surrendering, it meant giving up the fight completely by not having the first Cheez-It.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of things led up to it, and, you know, some crazy stuff. But really, I went out with kind of a whimper. I wasn't getting very, very, it's not like I, you know, pulled a Russell Brand and woke up. Didn't he play Arthur in that movie?
Yeah.
It's not like I did that whole crazy.
Seven tattoos for 7 years.
I was holding down a job. Everything was good. It's just that I, in my own head, knew I would fail if I didn't free up that brain power to focus 100% on my career. And if I had had a moderation switch, let's not call it an off switch, by the way, there's an on switch.
If you had a dimmer instead of a dimmer. On and off.
Yeah. Yes, I call it a dimmer. A dimmer is a great idea. Then I might be able to be just like, you know, other people in that regard. But I didn't. I was young and stupid, and all I knew was I had this intense career passion, which I apparently have passed that virus on to both my boys, and that was the, you know, that was the thing that mattered.
Same with the drug habit. Thanks, Pops.
Yeah, but see, I don't see you waking and baking. Maybe it's just polite because you're mom and dad. Yeah.
Well, you know, I tone it down a little bit around you, but I mean, in terms of like the alcohol, I think I had some moments, and then I was like, you know what, I'm gonna install a dimmer switch. That's when I came up with that two drinks joke, where it was I love that feeling of like that first two drinks, and you're like, this is great.
And 17 must be wonderful. I was
yeah, and so 15, I low, yeah. So I, you know, I logically, I mean, I sort of trick myself into it every night by telling the joke and then going, don't have that third. You have the joke about it. You know,
you had to live
happens.
Up to the joke after you made the
exactly.
Routine. That's very good.
Yeah. Wow. And at first it was easy because.
So
I
are
was
you
going
to do
like
a joke
poor.
About the evils of masturbation too, just to rein yourself in?
I've done a few, you know, but we've talked about it on
start
the podcast
manifesting,
a little bit.
No dimmer switch yet. I got.
Start
well, it's just you know, if I could substitute for the real thing once in a while, I wouldn't have such a sure. problem with the
writing
the,
jokes
the,
about
the,
that.
The,
manifest that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Live
yeah,
up
yeah,
to
yeah.
it.
Well, the real thing. So speaking of that, are you? Are you going to get married sometime?
I'm not.
Corey, what are you doing? not again. You know, to paraphrase an old friend's joke, you know, when you're single, when you meet a woman who's single in her mid-30s, there's a very compelling reason and you need to listen to that. So, you know, it's just a time.
So he's been looking
timing
younger.
Issue all the time. Yeah. Well, again, you know, as I get older, it's less. There's less in common with a 25-year-old. There's only so many conversations you can have about Twilight. And
if you meet a woman in her teens and she's single, there's a very compelling reason for that, Andrew.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. You know, I mean, I think I told you a little bit. You call this is funny. You called me passive aggressive because I told you this story, but I was into this girl for a little while, and Corey and I talked about it to death. But she just literally kept blowing me off and not in the way I wanted. But she would just never. She would make plans and she would bail an hour before, and like three times that happened, and then I went fine. And so this is part of the story that I didn't even tell Corey, but. Uh-huh. We made plans. She texted me like 2 days before I left, because she found out I was leaving and deadlines spur action. So she goes, oh, do I get to see you before I leave? And I'm going, I fucking text you every day for the last 3 weeks and now you want to hang out, but okay. Yes.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Abstinence Potential. Makes the heart grow fonder, but I say, sure, you know, I'm busy tonight, but my flight isn't till midnight Tuesday, so we can hang out Tuesday if you want. And she says, that's great. Let's hang out tomorrow. And I say, cool. I can't wait to hear from you. Or I said something like, I can't wait to see you, whatever.
Yeah.
And then she just said, LOL or something. And I said, oh, what's so funny? And then she just never replied. And so I was like, okay, something's weird. And also she's bailed on me, you know, 3 or 4 times. So I wasn't.
Yeah.
In my mind, I said, all right, I'm just not going to text her. And go, what are we doing today? How are we?
Yeah.
Where do our plan? What are our plans? Because then I know I'm the fool. Lucy's moving the football for the 5th time and I'm Charlie Brown kicking myself in the face. So I say, you know, because I also have that joke about, consent. And I want a woman who's enthusiastic about hanging out with me. So I said to myself, like, she also asked me out. So to me, that means she sets up the date or at the very least makes the first text.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm just not going to text her. And then I'll know if she doesn't text me, then she didn't really want to hang out. That's not in her interest. So, and if she's waiting on me for the 18th time to text her, then go fuck yourself. I've kind of had it with her at this point anyway.
So, Corey, does that sound passive aggressive or just aggressive aggressive? What do you think?
Well, some of the texts he has sent, I've thought were like, oh, I would never say that. But he's at the point where he's like, I'm just going to be fully transparent. And this is a little different. This is other situations. He's sent some transparent things where I go, oh, geez. I don't know.
Too transparent.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait to see you. But
if it was transparent, would mean he was excited to see her. I can't wait to see you. Yeah.
Right. So these other ones are more like
the actual.
I didn't read that when he tells me this story or I read this. I go, I wouldn't have read it the same way you read that. You know, she's maybe got a million texts that she's trying to dig through, and not this particular girl, but other girls, where he's like, oh, you don't text me back in 3 hours. And I'm like, well,
that's a problem with texting, by the way. I always assume that a lack of text or a particular text means something, and it's total assumption. I don't know what the person really
is. It's hard to really say, you know. So this situation, I'd say he has already been transparent a dozen times and forward.
Aggressive, you know,
not even aggressive, but
aggressive,
like
I was being aggressive
very clear.
I was going, I want to hang out with you. My buddy Corey's headlining this club, we'll go, I'll do a set, you'll fall in love with me once you see me on stage. She couldn't get into one of my other shows because she wasn't vaccinated and they required a proof of vaccine, and I was willing to let some of that slide. Then she got sick. She told me she had COVID 8 times, and
COVID 8 times. See, I used to say my grandfather died 8 times.
Your grandfather made the excuses up, but
apparently you made it 8 times.
Come on.
According to this
just like the NTSB, I always look at the accident and see how the accident could have been prevented.
Yeah.
So in your case, I would say when you were saying to her, yes, I can't wait to see you. Let's meet at 4 o'clock at such and such a place. Then you have your answer right that minute, and you haven't set up this passive aggressive, oh, I wonder if she's texting me or what she means by not texting me.
She was giving good excuses. And it wasn't even all excuses. It was like she couldn't go once because she wasn't vaccinated, and she initiated that too. So she's initiated, and it hasn't worked out. But even if her intentions aren't trying to get out of hanging out with him, it keeps happening. And she's the common denominator, regardless of whether...
So she'll reach out to you again.
Right. But regardless of whether her intentions are like, I'm trying to not hang out with this guy, which I don't think that's the case, still, it keeps happening. So what's the end game here? We can't even hang out
right
one
at
time.
A certain point. That is the message, is that you're not trying hard enough and you don't really like yeah. It's I'm not a priority
if you're
put
late
it that way.
If yeah. My buddy always was like, if you're late, it's always your fault. 100% of the time you're always yeah. you're late. It's your and then people would go, well, what if the traffic and the thing? Well, you know, if it's important enough to you, you're there on time. That's how it works.
Well, Andrew, and we might have this in common, but so, if I only put in effort with girls who made me a priority, you wouldn't have existed. So
I get it. I mean, listen, the point is, it's like a month of me.
I've been married 40 years and I'm still not a priority, but go ahead.
Yeah. Right. And maybe I play all my cards. Maybe I show my cards earlier or, you know, that could be the issue. But, you know, for the,
yeah,
for the whole month,
also,
I was like.
She also questioned your interests too. She said early on some version of yeah. like, hey, are you really interested in getting to know me? Because it just seems yeah. like you want to hang out at 10 p.m. at night. And you know, no,
that's
I
right.
invited you to lunch and I invited you to.
Yeah, she may be intimidated yeah. by the fact that you're a performer. I know that a lot of people are intimidated by me. That I wouldn't expect
well,
them to be.
Well, she brought that up and she goes, I did some Instagram stalking and it looks like you're a man whore. And I,
because you put your
again,
arm around
I,
fans when they buy a koozie from you and a t-shirt.
Absolutely.
I get that.
Yeah. yeah. And I go,
it's the least you could do. Corey sends him facial dick pics. So.
I know. Facials. That's next on the list.
Wrong use
I,
of that
and
word.
I say to her, I go, you're the first person I had sex with in 2021. So, like, you know, I'm not a whore. I'm trying to be a whore, but.
Oh,
no
wait a minute. You did have sex with
her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We hooked up one time. And then after that, it was impossible.
By the
to
way,
schedule
when I was a kid, hooked up meant I got through on your party line and we had a phone call conversation. The whole hooked up phrase. I don't know if it means we played cards. Or we had sex.
Hooked
does
up
it always
means...
mean sex?
We had sex one time on the first date. And then the second date, we just had lunch in the middle of the day. I didn't ask to go up to her place. I wanted to make sure that it was very like, I'm not trying to bang you every time. I'm interested every time. But, you know, I respect you and want you to okay. feel loved and deserved or whatever.
When you say
but anyway,
I want
the last
you to
thing
think
she
something,
me...
it's like you're not actually really communicating your true feelings. I like you, and we'd like to see if we have things in common and just have conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
I
said
mean, that's
that,
what I...
He said that. You know. Yeah, okay. He said that.
I feel like I made everything pretty obviously clear, and, you know, we talked every day on... We had a snap streak of 25 days, which means nothing to you, but that's a big thing.
What
for
is
kids.
A snap streak?
There's an app
back
called
my
Snapchat.
Day snapping was when yeah. you pull their bra back and hit yeah, it against
that's
her.
Exactly right. And we had to trudge a half a mile to school. Oh no, 7 miles to school.
But yeah,
but anyway,
app
it's all fine. We talked every day,
yeah,
at least. And then, but anyway, this is how this conversation went. When do you leave again? Tomorrow night. Sad, I lost my chance, but you're welcome for the sex and the jokes. And I said, that's hilarious. That's all I've ever wanted in life. She said, do you want to get dinner tonight before you go? I said, I won't have time tonight, but I don't leave until midnight. So maybe tomorrow night. She said, yeah, I'm not busy. I said, sweet, looking forward to it. She said, LOL, okay, same. And I said, what's so funny? And that was the last time I heard from her. And so I just assume.
LOL like, means she's assuming that you're just toying with her or something. Oh, but who knows? You don't know until you ask what you say. But
that's what I mean. It's like there's so much like conversation that is not. It's like between the lines
that you have
to read.
So here's what happens when you're actually face to face. Like we're in the same room, but we're on the other side of the room, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But when you're actually face to face in the same room, it's a much higher form of communication.
Sure.
And there are brain scientists that are worried about your generation because you don't have intuitive, massive amounts of data and information because you do so much stuff on text. It's like Morse code. It's
I think we straddle though. I think at 37 and 41 we straddle. Because I didn't have internet in high school, and
you
didn't have
no.
email till college, and I didn't have texting until 25, like regular texting until 25.
So it wasn't, it didn't affect your childhood years. You know that scientists are doing study on girls' slumber parties.
We're sitting there like
9 years old, and the girls don't talk to each other. They sit there on their devices in the room, and they're very worried about it.
I as well. But okay, so I'd say, I don't know.
I mean, am I being passive aggressive by being like,
well,
look, if you want me, like, I'm clearly available and interested, but I gotta do all the work around here. Like, come on.
I guess I feel
you can't
like
meet me 25% of the way. Like, it's such a.
So when you're complaining, when you're complaining about somebody you don't have a relationship to complain about yet with, I guess passive aggressive is the wrong term. I apologize that I used that because it made you defensive.
Sure.
It made you get aggressive.
But in other words, I don't know, more. And I fucking hate Steve Jobs because when I was younger, FaceTime meant being in the same room together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got so FaceTime.
If I say more FaceTime, I feel like there's a little trademark brand.
But
copyright.
I mean, I'm also past information here. Like, you know, if I'm scrolling back, I'm looking at a text message at 6:15 on the day we're supposed to hang out. And she's like,
right,
we're going to Corey's show. I'm nervous. He's going to make fun of me. And I'm going, don't worry. Just make fun of him back. It's going to be great. And then at 8:15, an hour, like a half hour before I'm supposed to pick her up, she's like, do you hate me if I cancel? I've been fighting this infection all week and I'm not feeling good today. And I'm like,
where's the infection?
That's what I'm saying. Back to your throat. But I'm going, call me when your throat hurts. That was an old joke. But again, I'm going like, if you're feeling sick all week and you wait until 8:15 to text me, that's a communication issue. That's not on me,
I totally agree. She might be whack.
Yes.
So move on. But
all right, thank you.
But
I defend my honor over here.
If you wanted to win something, you win. It's fine.
All right, thank you. I just want to be right. That's all.
I know. We all want to be right. That's, by the way, I talked about choosing between what we want to do and what our primitive self wants to do, and between the fear of trying something. The other worst problem with humanity, I think, is this wanting to be right. I have it really bad. I've had it my whole life. And I have to literally tell myself, why are you going with the drama of wanting to be right? Why don't you just admit to the other person that, yeah, I could be wrong about that. Or I am wrong. Even if you're not wrong, just say, yeah, I'm wrong. But don't be passive aggressive about it. Be really willing to believe you're wrong. And
here's the thing. I try to never make assumptions. Like when she canceled on me the third time for an hour by myself, I'm going, she's lying. She's a piece of shit. But
that's
I never
an assumption.
Say,
Yes,
but I don't project that to her. I go, okay, there's a lot of things
I
could.
Was true. And,
imagine if you didn't project it to yourself either. So I guess what I'm saying is.
Nice.
But I mean, how do you stop that immediate thought?
Again,
like the third time someone bails on you, you're going, this is getting a little fishy. At a certain point, I've got to protect my own heart here. You know, I can't just be going, take your word for it every time, Lucy. Put that football down. I'm going to kick it.
Or surrender protecting your heart and just be real and see what happens. And don't take each individual interchange all that seriously.
But at this point I'm losing interest because I can't get a straight answer. And if she's going to be constantly
and I have another prescription for you because we are running out of time and I have other patients to see.
Thank God.
But the other prescription, and this is just for myself as well as all you younger people, more time in person, less time on text. I have heard so many struggles of text.
What does she mean? And I don't know what.
Yeah. And they all follow that sort of same thing. And so maybe the thing to say to her next time is, I actually really kind of dig you, but I think texting is just an awful way to communicate. So I'm looking forward to whenever you want to get together, we can really hang and then hang with no assumptions. And I just think you'll get a much richer experience in person with people than on text, just in general in life.
One time I was sleeping with a gal and we got along okay, and in person when we were hanging out, I caught a glimpse of her phone and it was 39 unread text messages and 14 unread Instagram messages and a bunch of Facebook messages unread, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to operate under the assumption that that's what every attractive woman has going on. And any response means I'm way at the top of the list. And also try to not put too much thought into what a non-response or whatever is to things. And not, I've never once called someone out on, I mean, a few times recently, Andrew has sort of called someone out on like, even the line of like, what's so funny. I just think she's a, you know, she's a goof, and
she might be a terrible person. I have no idea until you.
I would have never even asked that, but not that it's wrong to ask it. I'm just saying I wouldn't have even thought anything of it.
My intention was even to be like, let's continue. I mean, I was trying to get
by asking a question.
By what my dad was saying is like, so like 4 p.m. at your place, or like, what are we doing?
Right,
you know, exactly.
Right.
My intention was to lead the conversation to like an actual plan, but then that never happened. And so,
well, her non-response to what's so funny could have had, you could have written, all right, so I'll pick you up at 5 p.m. tomorrow and we'll grab dinner. Yeah. But you didn't want to do that again because we're on time number 5 of. And
again,
she invited
the longer you communicate by Morse code, the harder it is to understand to me.
Yeah.
It's Morse code. Why would you sit there and tap out did it when you could just say, see you tomorrow at 4? I would keep, this is my prescription for all of humanity, by the way.
I'm not good at reading Morse code.
It's my prescription for myself, by the way, because anytime I lecture someone else, the next day I catch myself being a hypocrite, and I always try to stop it. So I would say just less texting. Just treat texting like anything else, like ice cream. You don't want to eat the whole freaking half gallon of ice cream, just, or like the Cheez-Its, 3 of them, you know.
Yeah.
Milk Duds.
Well, the good news is I haven't texted her since then, so I'm already on the plan.
And she hasn't initiated anything. Nothing.
I sent her a couple of Snapchats, just random. You know, we don't have our streak anymore, but I send her a couple of daily, you know, whatever, once in a while.
Do you send just, everybody or that you send?
They're not like an individual, like, oh, hey, this is your day, honey. But it's very like, oh, look at this funny thing. Or, you know, some stuff I send you and stuff I send. She's never snapped. She literally just snapped me back while we're podcasting. But, you know,
I remember being all worried and not wanting to look at things. And it was a nightmare. What do we got?
She just went to yoga or something. But, you know,
Looking good.
It's fine. I mean, to me, it's like also the great thing is I'm on tour for the next, you know, I wrote that joke like, hey, I don't have to text you and I don't care. And I got an excuse. I'm busy and leave me alone. And.
She might see the writing on the wall of like, maybe she, in her mind, I'm never gonna be able to hang out with this guy. He's always at shows, he's always on the road.
Maybe.
Can I interrupt for a second? Yeah. You guys are doing it again. You guys are supposing might or might not mean. So every minute you spend doing that, you're not fucking somebody. I just want you to think of it that way.
But I'm trying to go the other way of like, you don't read anything into it. It could be a million things, who knows?
Right.
So don't even. Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
don't
that's even, what I feel. As I go, it's not. I'm not. I'm on tour. Text me if you want. Bye.
Yeah.
Like,
so the
fine.
Funny thing is, now that you're actually thousands of miles away, and texting is useful, you're not doing it because you're not around the corner. Isn't that ironic?
Interesting. Well,
I'm on tour now. How is that any different when you were speaking by Morse code
from 3 miles
away? Yeah.
Had they gone out?
Because
that
if we had been out a couple times and we developed the strong connection where I felt like, oh, she's interested in me and we should keep chatting, I'd continue the thing. Absolutely. But to me, it's like, it's not worth fighting for at this point. And,
well, always chase
the long butt. Story short, probably not getting married, but roundabout way.
I think you're with your favorite person right now, and you're probably two of you will be very happy together.
I'll send them.
Well,
send
I can't afford
anything,
Corey's
anything you want for free.
No, by the two of you, I meant Andrew and Andrew.
Oh, I see.
You check know. The check the chat. I already sent it to you guys.
Is there a chat? Okay. So, the way, the other thing is, I just wanted to say, but I talked about this whole thing about how you're texting someone when you're nearer them.
That's interesting.
But when you're farther away, I'm on tour, even though it's going up to the same satellite halfway to the moon, no matter where you are. I do the same thing. I will call someone. Like, if I'm driving through Boston, I will think of Lisa's brother because he's in Boston, and I'll call him and say, hi, I don't have time to see you, but I'm waving at the skyline that you're in. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, no, there's something there. That's actually, there's some sort of bit there, I think. You guys are doing a podcast in the same room, but you're in different corners. So
strange. Yeah.
But, hey, well, I think that all puts a button on it. That nice little ending. I like it. Follow Andrew on Andrew J. Rivers, all the things. Hey, we have a Patreon.
Get on Patreon.
Yeah. See the video of our beautiful mugs. And Andrew and I are going to start doing a riffing once a month.
Can I use Patreon to offer you patrons money to do specific things and see if you'll do them?
Or is that only on OnlyFans? I try and separate my whore.
My
whoring work for out. Business and pleasure.
I can't justify being caught with an OnlyFans login for any reason.
Fair enough. Well, okay. Well, then fine. Patreon's fine for you.
Okay, Patreon's in a pinch. Sure. It's really nice to see you, Corey, and you too, Andrew.
Pleasure.
It's been so long. How about lunch tomorrow, LOL? We'll figure out a time and place.
I'll text you. I'm Corey Michaelis, comedy on all the things. Bob and Zip and with Ed Kelly.
Bob and Zip with Ed Kelly. Just search Bob Rivers or search Bob and Zip on any of your podcast platforms.
He has a Twitter with 12,000 followers, but he doesn't log in ever.
Oh,
and
I
know. He's got
steal
a Facebook
his phone
page
and start
have posting
your video.
The problem is, I'm like that. I'm like that guy in the Yellow Pages commercial. I have one rug hanging in the window, and if I sold it, I would be out of rugs. So I don't want any more listeners. No more viewers, please. Don't listen in.
All right, man. We're on opposite ends of the spectrum here, but I love it. That's great. Great talking to you, and I'll stop the Zoom, but we'll hang around for just a moment.
All right.
Bye, everybody.